you are now entering the world of blissful living, broadcasting around the globe and on the Blissful Living Network with Rochelle Marie Lawson. Are you lacking energy, clarity, and that sense of true well-being? Are you overworked, underpaid, and know that you deserve more in life? You are not alone. Improve your wellness, wisdom, and wealth so that you can step into living the life of your dreams. And now, here's your host of Blissful Living, the queen of feeling fabulous, Rochelle Marie Lawson.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Blissful Living Podcast. This is Rochelle Marie Lawson, the queen of feeling fabulous, and I have a great show for you today. So, as you know, I always like to say, first of all, if you like the show, subscribe to the show so you get advanced notification of the guests and the topics we're going to be discussing pertaining to your wellness, wisdom, or wealth. Next, share the show with everyone you love and care about, because the more we can get this information out, the better it is for all of us. We all want to live the life of our dreams. And when we're able to have wellness, wisdom, and wealth, we can absolutely do that, which is what the guests that come on the show bring to you. And lastly, you know, I like to say, find a place to sit, get something to write with, your favorite beverage, tell your family to give you a few moments so that you can capture the nugget of gold that the guests will be sharing with you. And you can be all in without any distractions as you take a few moments to just love and enjoy yourself. So while you're doing that, let me take care of some business. I want to thank our first sponsor, Blissful Living For You at Blissful Living, the number four, the letter U.com. They have some wonderful events going on and some wonderful things to help you transition to make 2024 the best year of your life, or I should say this year, the best year of your life with their Wellness to Wealth program. Detoxification, money mindset, wisdom, whatever it is you need to help you to just really crush it this year, they have something for you. And they're all Ayurvedically based. So you might want to check that out to find out maybe what your dosha is and how you uniquely flow in this world. Check them out at Blissful Living, the number four, the letter U. .com. Next, I want to thank our sponsor, All Day Cable Incorporated at All Day Cable Inc. It's the number one premier telecommunication installation company in the United States, minority owned, woman owned, and they're located in the heart of Silicon Valley, San Jose, California. They focus on installing network distribution, so your voice, your data, your fiber optic cabling, wireless access points, routers, modems, audio, video, speakers, whatever it is that you need to help you make the right connection the first time with your customers, you need All Day Cable in your life to make it seamless and flawless for you to do that. They work with small, mid-sized, and large corporations, so there's something for everyone. You can check them out at alldaycableinc.com. So let me tell you about my guest. Her name is Star Hansen, and Star is a certified professional organizer and a clutter whisperer. Oh my gosh, I bet a bunch of us need Star in our lives right now. You know, spring's coming up, and so sometimes we like to do that spring cleaning, but wouldn't you like to know a little bit more about how you can successfully do that and not feel overwhelmed? Well, anyways, let me just tell you more about Star. Now, she's on a mission to help you banish your personal clutter monster, take control of your stuff, and create a life you're proud of. She has appeared on over 30 television shows, given a TEDx talk, and shared her fitted sheet folding secret with Oprah and her fans. Girl, I need that, because, well, we'll talk more about it during the show. Her unique methodology has helped thousands of people get and stay organized when nothing else is work. And so today we're going to talk about home organization and how to use your clutter to awaken your genius. Welcome to the show, Star.
It is so good to be here with you. I love, by the way, anyone who's listening and isn't watching live, Rochelle has this beautiful crown on. Like you come into the room and it's like you are in the presence of like a regal queen. It's so lovely.
Thank you. Well, I gotta be when I'm talking to a star.
Oh, I like what you did there. I like
girl. I'm just saying.
I don't think my parents knew what they were going to, I don't think they knew what they were setting themselves up for. They were like, Star seems like a nice name. She'll be quiet, right? No.
I love it. Well, welcome to the show. And
thank you.
I want to jump in because girl, man, First of all, okay, we have got to talk about the whole fitted sheet folding. Okay.
Yes.
So my beautiful boo, bless his heart. You know, I just like to take the sheet, I do it, you know.
You roll it up. You like, yeah, it's like interpretive sheet molding. Yeah, totally.
Right. He has this way where we have to fold it together and the corners have to be in, and then you fold it over and then we fold it and it comes out looking just like what I just did. So I'm like, what? Why do we do this? And he's like, well, for one, he was always a Marine. He's not in the military anymore. But you know, it's like, okay. But so anyways, the folded, the fitted sheet, I know you can't demonstrate it for us, but can you just kind of walk us through so we can use arguments when it comes to that?
I'm going to real talk it though for you also, because, okay. So by the way, I love it. I was watching a TV show. I think it was Black-ish, and he's teaching his son how to fold a fitted sheet, and he did it the best. It was like the best starting, because he's like, you put your finger in the two holes. And I was like, he knows what he's doing. Like, yes. So the goal, the high level goal, is you're trying to put all four corners. You're trying to nest them into one corner. So you basically put your finger into two of the corners, and then you literally touch your fingers and then loop the floppy side over to the other side. And then you're just basically bringing all four up, and then you lay it down, pat it flat. And then I like to bring it in a third of the way on each side and then fold it in half and in half again. But I will tell you, if you have watched my Oprah fitted sheet video, which you can see it on oprah.com and YouTube and all that, I will tell you the secret, because my friend said the same thing that you just said, which was, you know, I try to do your methodology, but I can never get it to look right. And I said, let me tell you what the secret is. Because I'm on TV and I'm doing this, and because it has to look perfect because I'm on TV and I'm doing this, we use a twin sheet, because a twin looks much nicer, and it's much easier to do when you're standing in front of a camera and you're trying to manage this giant beast of a thing. So I will use a twin when I'm demonstrating. I use a twin, which is unfair. It's cheating. Just so you guys know, we cheat on TV. When you see it, it's fake. It's all fake on TV. Just set that expectation. But so I like folded a twin sheet, which is way easier to do. And I also can make sure it's been like ironed and it's flat and it's brand new. Like, so please know that what you see on TV and online is not real in every level. So it's easier with that. But yes, even my own fitted sheets, I will fold it, and I will literally, it will look a little, it's not, a, I mean, I wouldn't put it on my Insta. That's probably not going to happen, but it's but the goal is hopefully it's getting less wrinkled. It's in it's nice and stacked and beautiful. But so be gentle with yourselves, because if you've seen it on TV, it's probably zhuzhed in some way or other.
Oh, I love it. Okay. Well, thank you. Cause you know, like I said, we get to the same spot. Mine looks just as good as his. But I cannot convince him that if you just do, and he always wants, I'm like, I don't need your help. He's like, oh, let me help you. It's so much easier. And I'm like, no, because you're going to make me do it that regimented way. And
my ex
comes out just the same.
My ex and I used to have this, and I understand that this is a whiny, bratty thing that I would complain about. But when we were together, we would both fold the towels, and he was great at laundry. He was a dad. He was great at laundry. He got it done. And I'm grateful for that. And I will never say that I'm not grateful. I'm very grateful. But our style was different. Like, how we folded was different. And I found my style to be superior, because when I have a conversation with your partner, like, because when you fold a towel or sheets or anything, you want like a rounded edge facing forward so that you can stack nicely. And if you pull one out, you're not dragging the towel underneath it to like flop open, because that's when chaos ensues. But he would do the like kind of the foldy part in the back and like the chaos in the front. And I was like, you're just making it a disaster waiting. So we would have this fight where I'd be like, please let me fold the towels. And he's like, I've got it. Let me fold. So we would have this like towel off of who folded better towels. And like, let me tell you who folded better towels. Whoever folds the damn towels, that's who's folding it better. Just fold the towel, put it away. Who cares what it looks like?
You know, that's so funny, because now I'm like, oh my gosh, she's taking it there. So I'm really like meticulous. Like when I fold my shirts, like a t-shirt, I need to have the front, if it has something on the front, I need to be able to see that. Yes. So it drives me bonkers when he folds the shirts and they're inside out, because then it's like, oh, well, now I got to pull it out to see what it is. You know, just can't grab it. Like I want to wear Amsterdam or San Francisco or the Warriors or whatever. You know, I got to unfold it, see which one it is. And then, it, you know,
I have 20 white t-shirts or black t-shirts, and I'm like, I don't know what's on them if I don't see the graphic. Like, I need to, I get it. It's totally.
Right. Or my pants. Or so it's just kind of, okay, we totally digress. So this is not a therapy session for you, Rochelle Marie, and your idiosyncrasies about folding clothes. But, you know, and my so I'm telling you this, my mom and them, they grew up like in the late 40s and 50s, and my grandfather was a World War II veteran. So they came with a whole different set of instructions. You know, back then they had to iron the sheets and fold, and, you know, everything had to be military style. The bed, my grandfather would bounce a quarter on their bed, and if it didn't bounce right, they had to pull it apart and make it over. So I did feel blessed, and my kids should feel really blessed that I didn't inherit that aspect. So bottom line, fold your towels and your sheets. As long as they get folded and put away, that's all that matters.
Totally. I know it is. It's very interesting to see how organization has evolved through the years, how keeping our home has evolved through the years, where, you know, those of us who, you know, had parents or grandparents who were that 1950s housewife or that Depression era baby, their perception of what a home needs to look like is so different than how we live today. Today, it's like, I want my home comfortable. I want it peaceful. I want you to feel at ease when you come in. But back then, it needed to look perfect. It needed to be protected. And it also, like, it was really, you know, we have to also kind of name the trauma that was built into it, right? It's like when you go without, or like when there's been like collective trauma going on, there's a feeling of need to like assert yourself with pride through the spaces of like, we keep a house like this because we are rising above where we came from or what was put on us. And there's a lot of pressure. And with that pressure comes a lot of sometimes like secondhand trauma or abuse, because it's like, they're not telling you how to keep a house. They're trying to teach you how to not be in danger or have your needs met, or, you know, it's such a bigger conversation.
Yeah, girl, we have to bring you back for part two, because this, I mean, it really is. When you start saying that, I'm like, yeah, it was totally different. I mean, you know, just growing up, you know, and it's so funny because I still do it, but it's just part of me, you know, dusting every day. The mirrors had to be spotless, you know, all the time. So me and my brother we you know, divide up the household chores, and, you know, we vacuumed every day, and everything had to be, I want to say spotless, but it did teach me, how I wanted to have a really nice, presentable home and take pride in the things that I have in my home, you know, because things are expensive nowadays. But okay, let's get to this clutter stuff now. Girl, what are the root causes of why we struggle with clutter?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. That's literally like the whole point of my career. So when I started organizing 20 years ago, I saw really quickly that clutter is not an issue with stuff. So clutter is just a collection of stuff. We call it clutter when we have a problem with how it is and what it is, but it's just stuff. So clutter is just a collection of stuff. And what I focus on is people who've tried to get organized over and over again and cannot seem to make it stick. You organize that pile on the kitchen counter, you organize your car trunk, you do your email, whatever it is, and then that clutter just pops right back again. And I call this recurring clutter. And so for my money, unless you have something else that's kind of creating the clutter in your life, like if you've been diagnosed with hoarding disorder or something to that effect, generally speaking, if you have clutter that keeps popping up over and over again, what I have found is that it's actually doing something to help you. And so if you can figure out how it's helping you, you can get that need met without the clutter. And then the clutter will actually be so easy to release because it's not necessary anymore. And this is an interesting thing for people to wrap their heads around, because most people will say, no, Star, my clutter's not good. I don't think it's helpful. It causes me stress. It makes my partner and I fight. But I will say, kind of going back to, you know, we're talking about the Depression era, you know, parents and grandparents. If you've gone through a period of time where you didn't have your needs met, having stuff makes you feel secure. So going through the Depression and not having enough money to provide food for yourself and having to go hungry for a very long time, having an excess in your pantry makes you feel secure. I have clients who had one pair of jeans growing up and they felt ridiculed at school. So as adults, they've acquired 200 pairs because that makes them feel safe. There's ways that we might use clutter to stay connected with people. If someone you love has passed away, and maybe having their clothes in the closet still, or their papers, or the boxes that came from your grandma's house when she passed, those might actually make you feel connected. So it looks and feels like clutter, but it's making sure you're connected. So until you establish that connection in a different way, right, it's going to keep coming back. We also use it as protection. I worked with someone recently who had you know, multiple violations, like physical traumas. And so if you looked at how their clutter was stacked up in their home, it was ensuring that if someone broke into her home again, that they would trip, she would hear the sound, be alerted, and be more able to protect herself. So these are practical things. I'm not making up some, you know, like fanciful, like, oh, your clutter is helping you meet your soulmate through the drain pipe. You know, it's like this is like your psyche has learned how to take care of itself. And until we get that need met without the clutter, because look, the clutter worked. The clutter did a great job. The clutter totally kept you safe or made you feel secure or ensured that you have food on the table or whatever. It actually did its job. So until we make sure that your need is met without the clutter is going to keep showing up. And that's my job, is to help you figure out how do we get that need met without the clutter.
Oh, I love it. You know, you said some things, and I know when you talk about, you know, the connection to like boxes from your grandparents or, you know, a loved one that's passed away or clothing that you just, for instance, I know someone who has never purged their closet. They just keep buying new stuff and shoving it in, new stuff and shoving it in, new stuff and shoving it in. And so I asked, I'm like, do you ever like donate any of this stuff? You know, because I'm a type of person that if I haven't worn it or, you know, I go through, I'll donate it, because then it's, for me, it's outworn, it's usage for me. Yeah. And if it's still really nice, I want someone else to be able to take whatever it is, shoes, heels, whatever, because I do have a shoe fetish. That's a whole other thing. But, you know, to be able to spread the wealth so that maybe they will donate, you know, and I taught my kids that. But it is really interesting. And I think about, you know, other people that I know, they have these boxes and boxes of people that have passed away. They never look at them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, why the heck do you have them? Yeah. But what you just said, it's their way to keep connected. You know, yeah. I'm a book person. I have books. I have books from probably when I was 8 years old to, well, where I am now. So many, many, many decades of books, you know. Yeah. But I love reading. And I think for each book, whether it's my nursing school books or my electrical engineering school, it was a part of my life that meant something to me. And if I got rid of that book, it's almost like I got rid of that memory of that aspect of my life. So, oh my gosh, girl, therapeutic.
Yes. Wow. Well, and it's like, so you described it so perfectly. One of the ways we use it is connection, right? We connect with ourselves. We really like, I like who I was at this moment, or I want to be this person who does these things. I'm keeping these objects because they remind me to keep moving forward.
Right.
And we use clutter for a reminder so much, or as a communication, both with each other and with ourselves, where it's like, okay, if I keep this, you know, I've got a shelf of poetry. I haven't written poetry in probably 6 months and I love it. I want to, it's just not the active chapter, but I won't get rid of them because I'm like, I'm coming for you, baby. I'm coming for you. But, you know, at a certain point, what we have to really do is get calm within ourselves and say, who do I want to be today? And who am I walking forward into the future as? Because yes, things are expensive. And I'm a person who I'm a little bit nomadic, and I have actually gotten rid of all my possessions multiple times. And if it didn't fit in the car, it didn't come with me. And that purging, and I actually feel like I'm on a next chapter is coming soon, which I'm grieving my plants because I'm like, oh, I can't put them in storage. So it's, you know, there's these moments where we choose to release and we have to choose who we are. And there's a grief that happens. There's a grieving that occurs when we say, like, I'm going to let go of my size 2 because I'm not wearing them. And I'm going to trust that if and when I go back to that size, I will have them. But for me to actually pare down those items, I have to grieve the fact that I'm not there anymore, the fact that I didn't maintain it, the fact, whatever it is. And that's what's really going on under our clutter, that grief, those feelings of why am I not there? Like the life that I wanted to live, what's really going on. And the more that we can be present to the truth line in our clutter and honor those feelings, that experience, the things we want to do, the person we want to be, the less we need our clutter to be there behaving for us and be taking up space to do for us what we really want to be doing for ourselves.
Wow. You know, wonderful words of wisdom and nuggets of gold, because I just had an experience with holding on to my size. Well, they weren't 2s, they were like fours. I'd say maybe two fours instead of four sixes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, just one day. Good. These are so cute. My booty looked good in them. You know, I was just like, just this little cutie with a big booty back in the day, right? Okay. And then I lost some weight. I lost a lot of weight. And it was just over a period. I wasn't sick or anything. It just happened. I was super busy and just focused on getting some stuff done. I lost some weight. And when I went to see my kids, both of my daughter said, oh my God, you're so skinny. You're skinnier than me. Where's your booty? Okay. Mm-hmm. And then my son was like, the first thing he sees, like, oh my God, mom, you lost the weight. Now I'm a gym rat. I work out. I was still working out and I felt I looked good. But when I would look at myself in the mirror, I looked cute and all that, but I didn't look good to myself. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah. It was almost like, I got down, I could fit those twos, I thought I would, but I didn't look healthy to me. I didn't look, even though I was healthy, I didn't see a reflection of, and so I was like, girl, get rid of the twos, get that, you know, pick up some weight, get that booty. And I'm like a 4'6" now, but it was like a matter of 15 pounds, 12 or 15 pounds. And I realized you can't live back in the past of when you were a two. You know,
it's an idea that we have. Yeah. And I think society does this to us, right? Like not to like bounce on the patriarchy, but it's like this idea that we're supposed to look 20 and be a size 00 is so ridiculous. It's just ridiculous, but we do hold this idea. It's true. When you said that, I resonate so much because the things in my closet that are size two, I was eating so healthy. I was eating like orthorexic healthy, meaning that I was like actually having an eating disorder, but I was healthy. So it was approved by society.
Right.
My hair was falling out by the handful. I was covered in bruises. That's what it took for me to wear a size two. Hair falling out, covered in bruises. And I could barely sustain my energy all day. And I was eating all day. It's not that I wasn't eating. I wasn't starving myself. I wasn't getting sick, but I was eating like so many vegetables and fruit, and my body was just like, we need protein. My body was not at its happiest place, where now I only want my body to be in its happiest place. So why would I keep clothes that require that I am sick? Because I have an idea that there's a fantasy that I should be able to achieve. I'm going to like go to my closet right now and purge all this stuff. Like I have this idea that the best, most valuable version of me exists in a size two. And if I can find a way to be size two, that I won't be sick. And that's my job. But now my body, you know how this is. We get older, our bodies start tolerating our nonsense. It's like, oh, like I remember I did keto once for a whole month, Rochelle Marie. And like my body lost no weight. My body was like, oh, this again? No. And it did. Like there was, yeah, exactly. Like there was a week where I ate no gluten, no dairy, no sugar, no alcohol, nothing, right? I was like super clean on my food. I gained 5 pounds and I was like, what? But my body just won't. Because I have a history with eating disorders and stuff, she won't. She just won't tolerate. She's like, you will feed me. You will feed me healthy, happy foods. You try to starve me, I will show you not to starve me. Yeah. So I do think it's a blessing, but it's all of this. And it's like, and this brings us back to our clutter. The point is not to restrict ourselves to this skeletal version, either in our physical bodies or in our spaces that society deems appropriate. And again, that's that 1950s housewife. I will only have things in my home that is appropriate, that people will have a positive favor of me if they see it this way. No, what do you need to be happy? If you have a kitchen that's overflowing with dishes because you have three kids and you're busy, to me, that's beautiful. That's not disgusting. That's not cluttered. That's you living your best life. Like I don't have kids. I'd love to have a kitchen full of kids and dishes all over the place. To me, that's a happy life.
What you wish for, girl.
I know. Well, I'm right on the edge of that not happening. But it's just how can we find? And I think this is probably the biggest thing that I'm trying to do is how do we stop judging ourselves for the clutter and chaos in our lives, and instead find the beauty in it, find the gifts in it, find the abundance in it, because. I mean, look, we are so fortunate to live in a time and space where even people who are living in poverty have a flat screen TV, have more clothes than they know what to do with. So we are so fortunate to have our needs met. Our ancestors would be shocked. They're like, wait, you have to pay people to come in and throw away your stuff. Like, they'd be so confused, you know?
We just wanted food.
All we wanted was food and a house and maybe some clothes. Like, what are you doing? So, but yeah,
exactly.
How do we find the gratitude in what we have?
Wow. I mean, just a beautiful conversation. So I want to now ask you this, and dang, our time is going so fast, but I want to ask, because, you know, when great minds get together and have a conversation, time is irrelevant.
It is totally irrelevant. We're on another planet right now.
And then when you're hating that person, girl, that time drags on forever. But I know. I want to ask you this. So what's a simple thing that people can do when it comes to making a big, quick difference in their clutter?
A big, quick difference in their clutter. So it's interesting because the problem is not the clutter. Often the problem is within us, meaning our anxiety or overwhelm or frustration gets in the way. For most people, you have a lot of skills, natural organizing skills, because if I come in and I organize your house, you're probably not going to like it because our brains don't work in the same way. Like, that's, most people kind of know how they want their stuff. So what stops a lot of us is the emotional, mental side of things. We either think if we're going to get organized, we have to do it all in 5 minutes or less, or we're 10 years behind and we've got to go super fast. And, you know, it's when we get into anxiety, when we get into overwhelm, that's when we get into trouble with our clutter. So the best, fastest, first thing you can do is give yourself the smallest possible project. Go through and look for like something you can do in 5 minutes or less. Put on your favorite song and for 5 minutes, take items and put them into the trash, or move dishes back to the kitchen, or, you know, finally put things away where they belong in the house. What we're doing is we're trying to basically like change the flow of how you feel with your stuff, because most people who are trying to get disorganized have been trying for a very long time. They have tried a lot. They feel like they failed. They don't think that they've seen the difference. And so we need the smallest possible projects and we need to see them be completed. So organize just your purse, organize just the glove box of your car, organize the junk drawer, organize something that you know you can start and finish within, you know, a short period of time, 5 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour, something very short. And when you're done, walk away, give yourself a reward, treat yourself, like, okay, great. Like, go take a nap, have a cupcake, whatever you want. But what we have to do is we have to start positively reinforcing the organizing journey, because even if I came in and waved a magic wand and organized your entire house right now, you would have to maintain those organizational systems and that space for the rest of your time there. So organization is actually a self-care process. It's a healing journey. It's actually not a task to complete. If you organize your closet, guess what? You're going to have to do it again in 6 months or a year, or when you have a chapter change in your life. So build organization into your self-care. Stop looking at it as a punitive punishment and start looking at it as what it is, a way to love yourself, love your home, love your family. And how do you start to shift the mindset of that so that it feels fun and interesting and healing?
I love it. I love that. I love the simplicity of just taking maybe 5 minutes and maybe doing something like your purse. I know I'm guilty of always putting them. Why do I need 7 lipsticks in my purse? Well, because I might want to wear the color that I don't have in my purse that day.
Exactly.
Girl, you don't need 7 lipsticks. You pick one and just stick with that color for the day. You know,
I may or may not have 5 different lipsticks on my desk. Are you kidding me? Like, that's some of us are creative. I don't know how I'm going to feel in an hour. Maybe I want chapstick. Maybe I want bold red. I don't know.
I'm looking at my desk like, oh, I'm talking about it. I've got 5 on my desk right now. And some
earrings. Earrings.
Earrings, jewelry, you know, rings I don't even wear. But when I bought them, it was a special moment in time. It's, you know, just, it's funny, but just taking 5 minutes, or, you know, putting on a favorite tune, you know, anything from I want to say 70s, 80s, but 80s and 90s, girl, there was some good music back in the day, you know?
One thing I will say too is don't feel like you have to finish the projects. Spend 5 minutes and add value to the space. Make it better. Don't finish. It's okay to not finish it. Like, not everything deserves to be finished. That crappy book doesn't need to be finished. That horrible movie doesn't need to be finished. Like, you can just add value. And sometimes that's enough. Doing the best you can is absolutely enough.
You know, that's so funny, because before I started working today, you know, I'm like, I hate having a cluttered desk. And I've got all these, this is per this, you know, the stats, right? And so I took about 8 minutes, and I cleared it off, got things organized, put them in folders, you know, and all that. And I feel like so fresh and like so vibrant. You know, my crown is slipping off my head.
That's okay.
But
it's still on there.
You know, but it feels just like, I feel like, oh, I have space. And it only took a few minutes. And of course I was listening to some Usher because I was trying to just remind myself of somebody, I guess.
But stretch that Super Bowl halftime show out. We're just going to keep stretching it as long as we can.
Yeah. And I saw him in Las Vegas then, it must be 2022. I went to the Lovers and Friends concert, compliments of my daughter who gifted me. And so I got to see all those 90s groups, and he was one, him, Ludacris, and Little John, and they just killed it. So I was just channeling that energy of like being a teen, you know, just, hey, dancing around, putting my folders, but it felt great. And it, you know, it feels great. So just having this conversation with you and saying, okay, yeah, we all have these, you know, clutter issues, but sometimes the issues have more meaning to us than just junk and stuff. And it's okay. Yeah. It's okay. And we don't need to clear everything up in 5 minutes. We can take as long as we want, 5 minutes each day for 5 days, you know, or whatever. And it doesn't make us less valuable or anything. And sometimes holding on to those clothes and those shoes that you think you may want to get into, you know, the reality is your body's telling, girl, let that stuff go, because I got a new essence for you to show up as a queen. And it doesn't involve a size 2. You know, you're not 18 again, you know, where when you were 2, you look fabulous. You know, you're not 18. So 2 on you ain't looking that doggone. You, people may tell you, but, it's not a really good reflection of you. So I love this conversation, Star. So how can people get more of you?
Oh, absolutely. So if your listeners want, I would love to gift them a free copy of my book called Why the F Am I Still Not Organized? So this will tell you everything I've talked about today and way more. So they can get it if they go to starhansen.com/podcast. And that's starhansen.com/podcast. They can get a free copy of my book there. They can take my monster quiz where you find out what clutter monster is keeping you disorganized. And they can learn more about my group organizing program, the Chaos.com community. So they can come and find out, ask me any questions you want. I'm here for it. I'm all about this clutter clearing journey.
I love it. Thank you, Star. And you all, her information that she shared will be in the show notes. So no need to worry about it. It was too fast for you to capture. Of course, you can watch the show again and again and again until you capture it, but it will be in the show notes as well. And so I just want to thank you again, Star. It was such a fun conversation and very insightful with lots of nuggets of gold. And it also, I think, allows people that may be struggling with their clutter to understand that it's more to it, and they don't need to struggle. Just embrace it, because it's just part of their journey, and it's okay. It's okay. So thank you. Thank you so much. I want to thank all of you listeners and viewers for keeping tuned in. Subscribe to the show. Share the show with everyone you care about. We have fun on this show. No matter what the topic is, we have fun. And I think in the essence of fun, you're able to receive the information even when you might be fighting against it. So share the show and subscribe to the show. I want to thank our sponsors, Blissful Living For You at Blissful Living, the number 4, the letter U.com, and All Day Cable Inc. at alldaycableinc.com. And until next time, you all, you know me, the queen of feeling fabulous, I'm going to wish you peace to your mind, tranquility to your spirit, and wellness to your body. And may you go forth in your day or your week just being a little less clutter or a little more clutter-free. Have a good week, everyone, and talk to you soon. Rochelle Marie Lawson, the Queen of Feeling Fabulous, saying goodbye for now.
Thank you for joining Rochelle Marie Lawson on Blissful Living. To contact Rochelle Marie and to find out more about Blissful Living, click on Blissful Living For You link right here on the Blissful Living Network. Catch all the Blissful Living episodes on demand and available for download 24/7 on blissfullivingforyou.com. Until next week, may your life be filled with peace, wellness, abundance, and prosperity.